Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, here we are. We're still in the Easter season, which is good, but we're still in the middle of a pandemic, which makes Easter even more good, if that's a word. How awesome is it that even with all that's going on around us, we have a message of hope? And we need the hope of Easter now more than ever, don't we? That's why I'm glad we're starting a new message series today with the topic, Why Worry? And not just because my parents used to call me a worrywart when I was growing up, which, what does that really mean anyway? I don't know. Whatever it is, it doesn't sound good. But that's why I'm looking forward to this message series called Why Worry? Because with the coronavirus going on, even people who didn't used to worry are worrying about stuff now, right? I mean, there's lots to worry about all around us. What's that you say? It's time for more coronavirus memes, you say? All right, let's do that. Here are some of the ways that I think that you and I have more to worry about during the coronavirus pandemic. So let's start with the name pandemic. Where does it come from? Well, here's an interesting fact. Did you know that the average panda eats for 12 hours a day? Well, under quarantine, the average person eats like a panda, if you get that, which is why it's called a pandemic. And so apparently nervous eating is something we have to worry about now. Something else we have to worry about is making masks at home, which, just a shout out to Kay, our resident quilter in Redeemer's office. She made us some nice masks for our family. Thanks, Kay. But if you don't have fabric, I hear bacon works well, and they're particularly popular with the men. And we have to worry about having Zoom meetings at home now, right? And if you have children, it can be tricky to get that hour and a half alone. I like what this mom did by preparing common answers to questions that you might ask when she's in a meeting. And actually, I think those answers are good for older kids and husbands, even when you're not in a meeting. I'll leave it up there for a second, because you may want to steal that list. Or how about this? Now you have to worry about how many days of toilet paper you have left. And did I mention that now we have to worry about even knowing what day it is? When did this get so complicated? Well, today is Sunday, and we're talking about worry. And the truth is, some people worry more than others. I think there's a spectrum of worriers. What level of worrier are you? I think there's some of you out there that you have to have your blood pressure taken to make sure you're alive because you don't worry about anything. I personally don't understand that, and I can't really relate. And I wonder to myself sometimes, where do these people end up? I think they either end up homeless and on the streets, or they end up neurosurgeons or military commanders. I don't know. I don't understand that mindset that just doesn't worry about anything. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, where you worry about just about everything. And you don't just worry about your own problems, you worry about other people's problems. But I think if you're one of these people, you do find yourself trying to worry less. But the thing about trying to worry less is it's like trying to not think about something or trying to get to sleep at night. You're thinking, gotta get to sleep, gotta get to sleep. The more you try, the harder it gets. And so the rest of us, I think, are somewhere in the middle. And in light of what's been happening in the world these days, we've all become worriers to some extent. And there's all kinds of books written on the subject. The internet is full of articles about stress and worry. And I think the reason that they're so popular is because so many people are worried. So to get us started, I'd like to ask a couple questions. Then you can hit that heart button instead of raising your hand, all right? So the first question is, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your lives? You may have heard that one before, but it's a very telling question. Maybe I could ask it another way, and that is, who of you have worried in order to try to add an hour to your life? Yeah, I think that's a lot more people. That one's more popular. We tend to think that worrying helps, but it doesn't. In fact, I could add a third question in there, and that is, who of you has worried so much that you're pretty sure you've taken a year off of your life expectancy? Lots of us. And one more I'll throw in. Who of you by worrying have taken an hour off the life expectancy of your spouse or your children because you worry so much you drive them crazy? We're interesting creatures, aren't we, humans? I know that I can make my life longer by worrying. I can't do that, I mean, and I'm pretty sure that I've shortened my life by worrying. So, and yet, even though I know this, I still worry. It doesn't make sense at all. So if you're following along and you're taking notes, here's your first big take-home message about worry. You might want to write this down. Are you ready? Stop it. When it comes to worry, stop it. I mean, it really should be that simple, right? Just stop worrying. I doubt that any of us could point to something in our life that we say, boy, oh boy, worrying and worrying about that sure did help. No. And yet, the logic of the situation, it isn't enough to stop us from worrying. We need something more. And that's why over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this topic. And in the first couple of weeks in particular, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about worry. And then in the last week, we're going to look at the life of one of God's Old Testament prophets who was in a situation that, quite frankly, could warrant worry. And we'll see what God had to say to him. So that's sort of the shape of the series. And with regard to what we're going to talk about today, if you really embrace it, I believe it will really help bring your anxiety level down significantly. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus' words on this topic. But first, I want to preface it with the kind of summary thought to get you thinking about it, all right? Because this is really the nugget of what Jesus is teaching. What he's basically saying is this, that the things that you are most devoted to, those are the things that will determine what you worry about. Or if I said it another way, it would be the things that you worry about, those are the things that you're most devoted to. The things that you're most devoted to will determine what you worry about the most. But this is new thinking for us because we tend to think of worry as just an emotion. What Jesus will teach us is that if you want to take away the mystery about worry and turn it from just a nebulous emotion into something more identifiable, what you have to do is you have to look for those things in your life that are the object of your devotion, because your devotion is ultimately the root of your emotion. In other words, if you want to know what drives your worry, look at those points of your greatest devotion. Here's an example. Think about one of your neighbors on your street. Do you ever worry about, and I mean get stressed out about, their job? No. Why? Because you've not devoted yourself to their job. It's their job. It doesn't get any of your time, energy, or attention. And no time, energy, or attention means no devotion, means no worry. So thinking again about your neighbors, do you sit at home and worry about their kids' grades? Probably not, unless maybe you're their teacher. Because other than that, you've not likely devoted yourself to their kids' schooling. How about their stock portfolio and 401k? I'm guessing no devotion, no worry. Are you catching this connection between devotion and worry? Because here's how Jesus puts it in Matthew 6. Now, this section of Scripture is in what's known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It captures Jesus' teaching on a number of subjects. He's talked about the kingdom of heaven. He's talked about our sharing of the gospel to the world. He's talked about his fulfillment of the law. And he's even talked about several of the commandments and love for our enemies and fasting and prayer. But now we get to the point where Jesus is talking about worry. And he chooses to do so in the context of our finances. He says, in fact, to look where we store up our treasure, because that is where our heart is, which means it's where our devotion is, and therefore our worry. Wouldn't you say that people worry today about finances? I actually debated whether to talk about this aspect of this topic particularly right now, because I realized that with what's happening with this pandemic, for some of you, this has moved from just a worry to a crisis, as you may be experiencing layoffs or loss of work. In other words, I thought it might have hit a little bit too close to home. But then I realized that what that means is that even more we need to hear the words of Jesus on the subject. So this is what he says in verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be," and notice this word that we've been talking about, "you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And the word there for money is the Greek word mammon, which basically means treasure or riches or stuff. The Lord is saying you're going to either be devoted to God or devoted to your stuff, but you can't do both. And you might think, why does it have to be either or? Can it be both and? I know that sometimes it's both and, like when it comes to loving my spouse and loving my children. It's not either or. I love them both. So why can't I serve both God and money? Well, because Jesus said that you can't. And if you're really honest with yourself, you'll recognize that there will be times where your God values and your stuff values don't always align, and you'll have to make a decision of which you're ultimately devoted to. See, Jesus is smart enough to know this, and he calls it for what it is. You can't be devoted to both. So let's pause there for a second. It's been a couple weeks since I've mentioned Maslow's hierarchy of needs, so I'll put it back up there for you. And the one I'm showing you, that's the modified hierarchy of needs. We all know now what the most fundamental need really is these days. But really, see, the thing is, when life is going well, what Maslow's hierarchy kind of shows us is that the bottom levels have to do first with our needs of life, air, water, food. And then above that really have to do with our need for things, our employment, our resources, our property. And what happens is that until recently in America, I think we could say that the bottom rung was a given. Most people weren't worrying about life at all. We live in a free and a safe society. It was the upper needs that we were really concerned about, our stuff, and even the higher meaning or purpose that we could make out of our life and our stuff. But I think nowadays, we find ourselves even worrying about the most basic things of life. It's hard to go a day without checking in on the death count of the coronavirus in the United States and around the world. So you might say, you know, I used to worry about money, but now I'm more worried about my life. I mean, my retirement fund isn't doing so well and my investments aren't doing that great, but I realize there are more important things. Well, Jesus says, even when it comes to the more important things, there still is no reason to worry. Here's what he says in verse 25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He comes right out and he says, don't worry about your life. That includes all of it. Your food, your clothing, all those possessions and all those belongings that mammon might buy. He says, I don't want you to worry about any of it. From the most basic food and clothing, which may have actually been the biggest concern of those listening to the Sermon on the Mount, to those things that would maybe be more appropriate for our day and our age, like your house, your car, college for your kids, your retirement, whatever it is, Jesus says, don't worry about your life and don't worry about those other things. Because in verse 25, he goes on to say, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus is giving us a real perspective shift here. He's saying, step back a bit. All that stuff that you're worried about, is that really what life is all about? And the obvious answer to that is no. Our life is the most important thing. But remember, Jesus has already said, do not worry about your life. See, what Jesus is doing is he's giving us a list of things that we can worry about. And it's basically nothing. There's nothing that we should worry about. Not our wealth, not our stuff, not our life. And here's why. Jesus goes further to explain, and he says simply, look at the birds of the air. I mean, that kind of makes sense, right? Because if I can't look at my food, and I can't look at my clothes, and I can't look at my stuff or my life, what else is there to look at? I guess the birds of the air. But that's not why Jesus is telling us to look at them. What he's doing is he's actually trying to be helpful. Because how many times does somebody say to you, don't worry about it? And you think, that's easy for you to say. You've got transportation, your kids are doing fine, your health is fine, you have a job. Me, I got stuff to worry about. See, Jesus isn't telling us, dude, don't worry, man, take a chill pill. Which, that's Southern California Jesus. If you're watching in other parts of the country, sometimes I have to translate for our people here. See, the point is, Jesus doesn't want to just tell us not to worry, but then not teach us how. He wants to teach us how not to worry and why not to worry. So that's why he says, look at the birds of the air. And what can we learn from those birds of the air? Jesus says, notice this. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. In today's language, Jesus was basically saying, look at the birds. They don't have calendars, computers, mortgages, or investments to worry about. They don't do any of the responsible stuff that you're working hard at. And yet, our Heavenly Father feeds them. And here's another question from Jesus. He says, so you always have to pay attention when he asks the question. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not more valuable to God than birds? Or put another way, do you think that God is more concerned about you, who were made in his image? Remember, when God created all the mountains and all the streams and all the plants and the birds and the animals, he said, it is good. But when he created mankind, he said, it is very good. Because he told us that he made man and woman in his image. And so when he sent the Savior into the world, he sent him as a man. And he allowed him to die for you. So how do you answer Jesus when he says, are you not much more valuable than a bird? The answer is obvious, right? And why this is so important is because Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, I'm teaching you why you can face uncertainty and not worry. I'm telling you why, even though you might be wondering where you're going to get another job, you don't have to worry. I'm telling you why you can face the coronavirus and the economic shutdown and still not worry. And his point isn't, oh, don't worry, you can be lazy and irresponsible. No, that's not his point. And his point isn't that it doesn't matter because ultimately fate is going to determine what's going to happen. No. His point is that you don't need to worry because there is a God in heaven who even feeds each and every bird. Is it even possible then that he's going to just forget about you, who's made in his image and who he's allowed his son to die for? And he's not telling you that he doesn't want you to sow or to reap, that he doesn't want you to have plans and go to work and prepare for the future, and that he even doesn't want you to practice social distancing and safety measures with this pandemic that's going on. No. What he's saying is, do all that, but you don't have to worry about all that. It is possible to work and not to worry, to be diligent and not to be given into fear. And so Jesus goes on to ask. I love when he puts it in the form of a question because then you have to stop and make it personal. You recognize that he's not just talking in the abstract. He's talking to you. And so he asks you, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? This is just a real practical mental experiment. It's actually what we would call a rhetorical question because the minute that the question is asked, you automatically know what the answer is. You and I instinctively know that worrying will not bring certainty out of uncertainty. No, only God will do that. So Jesus says, if you worry, it's not going to get you anywhere. So look, I got a better idea for you. Look at the birds of the air. And what he's saying is, settle on this life-changing idea that God loves you more than he loves the birds of the air. And if they don't worry, then do I need to really worry? No, I don't. So Jesus goes on to give yet another example from the real world. He moves from the most basic of life and food to the higher level things of possessions and status that clothes might represent. So he says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? In other words, if God takes care of the birds and the birds don't do anything, and if God takes care of the flowers and the flowers don't do anything, then Jesus asks, don't you believe that God will take care of you? Then he goes right to the heart of the worry issue. Pay attention. He says this, you of little faith. See, worry and faith are connected. Worry puts my attention and my devotion on the uncertainty. But faith puts my attention and my devotion on God, the one who gives certainty and clarity. See, when we worry, what we need and what we crave is certainty and clarity. But worry will give us neither one of those. And what we need to realize is that our devotion is the root of our emotion. I'll say that again. Our devotion is the root of our emotion. This means that our emotions get attached to the things that we're devoted to the most. So when we worry, that's our emotion, we are putting our time and our energy, our devotion, on the uncertain thing. But when instead we put our time, our energy, and our devotion on God, then we don't have worry. We have faith. And with faith comes peace, contentment, joy and hope, not worry. So that's the real question for us today. Where is our devotion? Do you trust your Father in heaven, or you of little faith? Because worry is an issue of faith. Worry is an issue of devotion. And if your devotion is on all of your problems and all the scary things in the news, then you're going to worry. But that's why it's good for us to talk about it, right? And remind ourselves what Jesus says. That we don't need, that instead we need to get our devotion off of those things and look to the birds of the air. Meaning, put our trust, our faith, and our devotion on the one who has demonstrated his goodness and his faithfulness over and over again in our life. And if you really do forget how good God has been, then you need no look no further than to the birds of the air. And so you don't stop worrying because the future is certain. And you don't stop worrying because you can control the future. You know you can't. You stop worrying because you trust in your Heavenly Father instead of in your own ability to predict, protect, or control the future. And so here's something to think about. Not one single second of your life has been certain, ever. You and I, we've lived with uncertainty since the time we were born. It's just that at different stages of our life, we become more aware of the uncertainty and we get more nervous about it. But the truth is, you have not had the ability to determine anything about your future at any point in your life. And Jesus is saying, look, has God been faithful to you in the past, even though it wasn't certain? Well, life has changed a lot now, and there's a lot of uncertainty around us right now. But I would ask you this, what about God has changed? What about God is uncertain? Nothing. Are you of little faith? See, in faith, we put our trust and our devotion in God. And in exchange, he takes our worry and he gives us peace and hope where that worry once was. Does that sound good? So what I want to leave you with, what you can do for your homework, and maybe your action step this week, is to recognize that if our emotion of worry is driven by the devotion of our heart, then ask yourself, what am I most devoted to? And if you want to know what you're most devoted to, look at what you worry the most about. Because next week, we're going to look at where Jesus says our devotion and attention should be. And I can tell you this much, it's not worry, it's so much better. So I look forward to seeing you then. Until then, let's pray. Heavenly Father, many of us, we've read these words before, but they never were really real or important until now, because there's something that's looming out there in front of us that's so big that it consumes our thoughts. Father, would you give us the wisdom, the insight, the courage, and the faith to allow these words to penetrate our heart, that we would be men and women who would not worry, but would trust you with our tomorrow and our today. And Lord, help us to look inside and discover what we're most devoted to, and then to turn our attention and devotion instead toward you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we prepare to receive our offerings today, I pray that we would simply put our trust in God, that we would recognize that we cannot serve two masters because we'll be devoted to one and despise the other. So it's out of devotion to God that we bring our gifts and our offerings to the Lord. We pray that as we do, our hearts would move from fear to faith, from worry to trust. And so you can find offering links on our church website and on rbts.online.church, or you can mail in your offering. But as we sing this next song, may it remind us of where we place our faith and hope, in Christ alone. We sing.